O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God is Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Good stuff. Great God. Amen. 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 You have your Bible open to Mark chapter number 4, and I want to share an account in the scripture of the journey of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an account, one of my favorites in all the New Testament. I have plenty and many, but this is one of my favorites. Every time that I read through this passage of scripture, I see something else that God teaches me about life. And I pray that God would help you as we go through these scriptures together this morning. Life is a journey. Oftentimes in the scripture depicts life as a journey. And oftentimes it's depicted as a voyage. Paul said, "The time of my departure is at hand." The picture there is someone who was just kind of setting sail and sailing off. One day we're going to sail right out of here. Amen. We really are. Life is a journey. I want you to notice some things about this particular passage of Scripture that I hope will be a help to you in your journey of life. The disciples were in a journey, that's for sure. I want you to notice, if you would, as we start in verse number 35, it says, "The same day." It's been a very full day. I'm not going to take time to go into detail with you, but I would encourage you to find Matthew's and Luke's account as well as Mark's of this particular incident, and you'll find that the Lord Jesus had been busy teaching and ministering to people and meeting people's needs, and now the Bible says the evening had come. It's evening. It's been a long day. Evening was setting in, and the Bible says in verse number 35, "The same day of this evening, when the evening was come, that Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." In other words, we're going to take a journey, guys. Now, there's some things that it's kind of secondary here that I want to bring to your attention, because I think that there's some great lessons here about life. In verse number 36, it says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship." They didn't want to go over or enter into this journey without making sure that Jesus was on board. Amen. They took him. Now, many people believe it was because of fatigue. He was tired. He had been ministering all day. But whatever the purpose, we do know this. The Bible was careful to point out that the disciples took him on their ship. But it also points out, in verse number 36, there were also with him other little ships. And he's not aboard those ships. Now, I don't know what happened to those ships, but I know this. I know that a great storm came on the water. And life is full of storms. And it pays to have Jesus on board. Amen. It pays to have Jesus on board. Let's talk about a few things here. First of all, I want you to notice with me the journey. The journey. There's a song called "Jesus, Savior, Pilot Me." And it goes like this: "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, and hiding rocks in treacherous shoal. Chart and compass come from thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." You know, when I think about a journey, there's two words that come to my mind. I want to share them with you. The first word is direction. I talk to a lot of people from day to day who seemingly have no direction in their life. They're just kind of here. There's no direction in their life. They're not really living, they're just existing. Well, you don't have to go through life that way. There is direction in life. And can I tell you, when I met Jesus, and when he saved me and he became my Savior, he gave me direction, purpose in life. I want you to notice what Jesus said here to these disciples. He said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." That speaks of direction. In other words, we're here, but we're going there. That's a direction. See, everybody needs to have some kind of direction in their life. Don't just spend the day, invest a day. Right? You don't just spend your life. Those of us who have a little bit of age on us can tell you now, folks, listen to me. Some of you young folks, listen to me. It won't be long till you'll be looking back over your life and you'll be wondering, where did those years go? And so don't just wander aimlessly through life. Set your eye on a goal. Get you a direction from God, and then don't let anything hinder you from getting to that direction. The Bible says here that Jesus charted a course. He said, "Let us go to the other side." And so that speaks of direction. But when I read that statement, I see where it says the other side. That speaks of destination. In other words, a particular destination. He didn't just say, let us go and just sail the wide blue seas. He said, no, let us go in this direction to that destination. Let us go to the other side. I wonder how many folks here today really know where you came from, where you are, and where you're going. As I talk to people, and I talk to a lot of folks, and I know that you do from day to day, it appears to me that folks, we can't even get settled where we came from, let alone where we are, where we're going. These are really not difficult questions to answer. We just need to go to the right resource and find out what our Maker, what God says about these things. You'll never really have any direction. You'll never be sure of a destination until you hook up with the right resource. Notice who it is that's saying this. This is not some vague voice. This is not just some meaningless person. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of the living God. And he said, let us go over unto the other side. Direction. Destination. I wonder if your life has any direction. Are you sure of your destination? I'm glad for the day in my life. I'll never forget. After I was saved, I got saved on October the 26th, 1980. And at that time, I knew very little to nothing about the Bible. There's still a lot that I don't know, but I'm learning. And God's teaching me. But I'll never forget driving home from work one day. I had been memorizing some scripture, and God turned a light on in my brain and in my heart about John 10, 27 and 28. John 10, 27 and 28 goes like this. My sheep, this is Jesus speaking, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For that day, for the first time in my life, I realized something. I realized that I was not only God's child, that I was saved because I had repented of my sin and accepted the finished work of Christ as the atonement, as the penalty of my sin, but I realized that I was saved forever, that I was God's child forever. There was nothing that the world, the flesh, the devil, the enemy, there was nothing that they could do to rob me of the gift of God's salvation. What a wonderful day in one's life when they not only realize where you came from. I know where I came from. Amen. I know where I am, and I know where I'm going because I have direction. I have destination. I know how this thing's going to end for me. I don't know all the details. I know that if Jesus doesn't come soon, I'm going to die. You're afraid to die? I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. See, Jesus took the fear of death from me. When I received Christ, now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not looking forward to dying. I don't want to die today. But if I do, I'm ready, brethren. I want to tell you that. I'm ready to die. I have received Christ as my personal Savior. This is not where it all ends. Wouldn't it be? Listen, Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Could you imagine this being all that there is? This is not all that there is. This is not all that there is. And so when Jesus told these disciples in verse number 35, he said, let us pass over unto the other side. Verse 36 says, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, before I get onto these other scriptures, which is the main thrust of the message, I want to encourage you that if Jesus is not on board, you need to get him on board. Now, this is a choice that you make. This is not something that God forces on you. Jesus didn't just take off and get in that ship. The Bible says they took him to the ship. You see, this is something that we invite into our lives. This is something that we ask God to get involved in. This is something that we invite him to be a part of the direction, the destiny, and the destination of our lives. Then if you would, notice what it says in verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. You know, when you read Matthew's account and when you read Mark's account of this same story here, you find that the disciples were in fear of their lives. The Bible says in the book of Luke chapter 8 that they were in jeopardy. They were fearful. They were in a state of where they really thought this was going to be it, that they were going to die this day on the sea. Now, what does this tell me about what Jesus is doing here and what this account is? I want you to listen very carefully. You know, there are some people that would tell you, well, you know, when you get saved, you'll never have another problem. That's a lie. That's just not so. But I will tell you this. Though you may encounter some problems, you'll never have to encounter them alone. And though your ship may be tossed and to and fro, and though the boat may be filled with water and your life may seem to be in jeopardy, when you have Jesus on board, I'm here to tell you that God will work some things out to see you safely through the storm. Notice it says here, there arose a great storm so quickly, so suddenly. So I want to talk to you not only about the journey, but I want to talk to you about the storm just a little bit. Isn't it amazing how that life has storms, difficulties, trials, burdens, sorrow? See, none of us are exempt from those things. If you're sitting here today and you've just recently gotten saved and someone told you, hey, if you'll come and accept Christ as your Savior, if you'll start going to church or start reading your Bible, you'll never have any more problems. I'm here to tell you that that's just not so. But I'm also here to tell you that while he told these, let's go over to the other side, he did not tell them that they would be without incident, that there wouldn't be a storm, that it would be smooth sailing. See, he never promised that. Nor has God promised me a life without difficulty. God's not promised you that. God hasn't promised us a life without trial and hardship and sorrow and death and difficulty. And somehow we've got it etched in our minds that because we're a Christian that we're not going to encounter any of these things. It's just not so. We're going to encounter these things. We're going to have some trouble. The disciples did. Notice it again. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It says in verse 38, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? When you read Luke's account of this, you will find that they literally woke him up and said, save us. We're going to die. We're going to die here and now. We're going to die. You know, sometimes there's situations that happen to us in life that we feel like that this is it. So that reminds me of two things. First of all, the suddenness, and then the severity. Let's talk about those two things. Suddenly. You know, it doesn't take long before this church service is over, before this day is over, I could get or you could get some news that would suddenly change our day. Suddenly, it may change our week. It may change our life. It just takes a phone call. Maybe a text. Maybe a piece of mail. Maybe a report from a doctor. Maybe a loved one calling from a distance with the sad news that someone in your family has departed. We've all encountered it. If you've lived long enough, you understand that the Bible is right when it says that man born a woman, that his days are full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. There's going to be trouble. It's coming. So though you get Jesus on board, don't mistake. Listen, don't you think for one moment, well, now that I'm a Christian, or now that I'm in church, or now that I'm reading my Bible or living the Christian life, that means that I'm not going to have any more trouble. It means no such thing. But it does mean that when Jesus is on board, that there is an authority in your life. There is a power in your life that can overcome any obstacle that is laid before you. Any storm that comes your way. See, the disciples, many of them were fishermen, and don't lose this truth. Many of them were men that were trained at sea. And yet, in their strengths, they still couldn't control this situation. There's just going to be some things in our lives, brethren. Now, I believe a man ought to do everything he can do. I believe a family, a woman, a child. I believe that as an individual, we ought to do our very best. Can you say amen with me? We ought to do our very best. We ought to do all that we can do. But there's just sometimes that our very best just don't cut it. There's just some things that will come in our lives that we're not going to be able to handle in ourselves. They're overwhelming. I can sense it right here. As a matter of fact, take your Bible just for a moment. Let's turn to those scriptures in Matthew. Turn back to Matthew chapter 8. I want to show you the anxiety that the disciples displayed here in chapter 8. Notice, if you would, I'll give you an opportunity to find it in Matthew chapter 8. That's one book back. And then we're going to be turning, if you want to find your place there, in Luke chapter 8. So it's Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 8. I want to show you some things here. Matthew chapter 8, as we begin in verse number 23, we find where we have the same account of the scriptures. And the Bible says in verse number 24 that the ship was covered with the waves. So there's this fierce storm that's come upon the waters, as was common in this geographical location here. And it says in verse number 25 that the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us." Look at that. "We perish. We're going to die. This is it. This is the end of the line. If God doesn't do something, it's over." That's what they're saying. If you don't do something, we're done. "Save us." They ask him, "Save us." Now, this is not talking about a spiritual salvation. It's talking about from a difficult situation. "Save us. We've tried all of our training, all of our expertise, everything that we know, and we're no match for this storm." There's just some things in life, brethren, that we're no match for. Have you come to that place? It's a very humbling place. But it's a good place to be in when you know the Master. When you know the Master. And that's exactly what they called him when they came to him in the book of Mark. They said, "Master." Go to Luke now just for a moment, and then we'll go back and close it out in Mark. Luke chapter number 8. Notice what the scripture says here. I've always been intrigued by the wording that Luke used when he gave the account here. It began in verse number 22. Luke 8, verse number 22. Again, we have the same account that is given by Mark. Luke is rehearsing it in the way he saw it, the way the Spirit of God moved on him. And the Bible says in verse number 23, as they sailed, that Jesus fell asleep. Now, this is, of course, speaking of the humanity of Christ. In a moment, we're going to see his deity. Amen. "And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water." And notice this next phrase here, "and were in jeopardy." This is a precarious place to be in life, isn't it? In jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. "They came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we perish. We're in trouble. God, we need you to do something.'" There's going to come a time in your life, if there hasn't already, and I'd say there has, and there's been times in my life, and there'll probably be more, that I'm going to need him, and I'm going to call on him, just like the disciples did. I'm glad that he was in earshot. I'm glad that he was there. I'm glad that they brought him along. I'm glad that he was aboard. And then when the storm came, as we turn back to Mark chapter number 5, as the storm comes, they went to him in verse number 38. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" There was an anxiety. There's the suddenness of the storm. Doesn't take long. It really doesn't. You ever been going along through a day, and all of a sudden, either a messenger comes to your door, or you get a message on your phone, or a phone call or a letter, it can change the whole complexion of your day. It just takes one message. It might be a doctor's report revealing that there's a problem with your health. We never know. See, these things are a part of life. They're just a part of our being here. It's not God taking things out on you. There are some people who always view God as this big bully who's roughing them up. No, sin has its consequences. Sin has its consequences, and we live in a sin-cursed world. You don't have to look far to realize that, do you? Sin-cursed world we live in. That's why the sea is tempestuous. You know, the Bible says one day there'll be no more sea. Do you know that? I could really get off of course here. I'm going to try not to, but there's a lot to say about the sea. There truly is. It's raging. It's unsettled. Life can be that way sometimes. So what do? Well, you go to the master. They were fearful. I don't know how long it took them to get to Jesus. I don't know how long they tried to do it on their own. As human beings, there's something in us that thinks, you know what, I can take care of this. Right? I've got this. We men, we're renowned for saying that. Oh, yeah. Hey, don't you think that we should stop and give some directions? Oh, I got this. I got this. 30 minutes later, I think I saw that before. Oh, no. I've got this. Just leave it to me. I'm going to get us that. Right? Well, there's just something in us. It's pride is what it is. It's pride, and it's in all of us. We think we've got this. There's just some things in life, and I know this is not good grammar, but it's good theology. We just don't got. We just don't have it, brethren. We think, oh, I've got this. I've got it all under control. No. And no doubt the disciples were thinking, we've got this. He's tired. Let him sleep. We're fishermen. We're mariners. We can take care of this. This is a small thing. We've been through these storms before. We can take care of this. There's just some you can't. As a matter of fact, the Bible says without Jesus, you can do nothing. So now let's bring this to a close. What happens? Well, the first thing I want you to see is there's something greater to fear than a storm. Do you see it? Did you see it in that story? When we were reading the scripture, did you see something that's greater to fear? There's two things in this story that's greater to fear than a storm. What are they? Well, I want you to notice what happens here at the close of this. After Jesus arose and rebuked the wind in verse number 39 in the sea and said, peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Which, by the way, that's a miracle in itself. It's a miracle in itself. Not only did Jesus calm the winds, now listen to me, but it says there was a great calm. The waves. See, they said, this man controls the winds and the waves. Even after the wind stops blowing, oftentimes the sea is still very tempestuous. There's big waves still, but even the waves calmed. Isn't that something? It's a great calm. And the scripture says in verse number 40, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's the thing to be afraid of. That's the frightening thing. It's a misplaced faith. Where's your faith? Either God's going to take care of you or he's not. Either he's in control or he's not. Right? Where's our faith? You know, oftentimes when it's smooth sailing, the songwriter said, the God of the mountain, it's easy when things are going well and you're on the mountaintop. It's easy to say, God is great. It's easy when a person stands and sings, how great thou art, to say, amen, amen, my God is great. But what about when the storms come? What about when the sorrow, what about when the difficult times, the burdens and the trials of life? Can you still say, my God is great? Can I? Can we still say God's in control? That God is in control, whether the winds are blowing and the seas are raging or where it's calm, can we still say that I know that my God is in control? He said, why are you so fearful? And then he gave the reason why. No faith. Are you fearful? What scares you? What scares you? Nothing scares me, preacher. Okay. I can tell you something that's worse to be afraid of than a storm, a great storm, even to the place where it could take your life. And that's going through life with no faith. Unbelief. But then notice what he said in verse number 41. It says, and they feared exceedingly. They feared this more than they did the storm. What was it? Look at what the scripture says. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It put a fear in them that was greater than the fear of the storm. The power of God. You ever been in the presence of the power of God? It's a very humbling presence, isn't it? It truly is. It's a great place to be. But it shows us where we stand before our Maker. It does. And so here they got on the ship and they thought, well, you know what? We're getting on the ship with our leader. He can feed some and he can heal some. But they were really uncertain of the abilities and the capabilities of the Lord, but they saw him in a new light. Now, what's this teach me about the storms of life? It teaches us this, brethren. God uses situations in our life to show us things about himself that we otherwise would not see. You know, sometimes in prosperity, if we're not careful, we'll just wander and drift. It's in adversity that we scooch up real close to God. And we get like these men and say, God, help us. Save us. So fear. What do you fear? Storms? Is that what your fear is? Or is it that maybe you could go through life and never exercise faith and dependence upon God? How much do you depend upon God? Really depend upon God? You say, well, I have a Bible. That's a great thing. You ought to praise God for it anyway. Amen? You ought to praise God you have a copy of the Word of God. There's people around the world, brethren, that don't have a copy of the Word of God. If you hold a copy of the Word of God in your hand this morning, you ought to praise God for it. There's people around this globe that do not have a copy of this book right here. Many of them would like to have it. They just don't have it. Fear. What do you fear? He also said, how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then notice how chapter 5 begins. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. I'm just sure that they never thought that that was going to happen. There was a time when they were in jeopardy. There was a time when they were in doubt. There was a time that they said, we're going to perish. But God always keeps his word. See, they had forgotten verse number, look at it now, verse 35. Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. Now look, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side. God always keeps his word. There hasn't one promise in all the Bible failed, brethren. God's on time every time. If you don't get anything else out of the message today, you write that down. God is faithful. He's always on time every time. He always does what he says he's going to do. Do I always do what I say I'm going to do? No. Do you? No. But God does. He always does what he says he's going to do. Always. Why? Because he's faithful. God is faithful. So what's this lesson? What's our lesson from this? Well, there's many. One is the next time, and I want you to highlight this in your Bible. if you write in your Bible, you ought to do this. You see verse number 37? And there arose a great storm. You ought to put parentheses or underline that or highlight that. There arose a great storm. This is going to happen now. This is going to happen. I hope you'll remember today's message when it does. I didn't say if, I said when. You're going to have a storm in your life. Notice what it says, and there arose. Now compare that with verse number 39. And he arose. Amen. Amen. You see, when the storms arise in life, when Jesus is on board, he'll arise to meet the need. He will. He will. He'll never let you down. Can I tell you, I've been serving God now for about 36 years. God has never let me down. He's never let me down. Not one time. I'd be ashamed if you were to ask me if I've ever let him down. I have. But God has never let me down. You know, there's no one in here that could stand and with a clean and pure conscience say, God has let me down. God's never let you down. We let each other down. We let God down. But God never, never lets us down. So what do we need to do? Well, if you read the story carefully, you know when the storm got out of control? When Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship. Look at it. I think it's verse number 38. Does it say he's in the hinder part? Is that verse 38? You need to get Jesus out of the back and put him in the front. Because that's where you're going to see the power of God. A lot of people's going to put Jesus in the back seat. They didn't put him in the hinder part. But when we get him out of the hinder part and put him on the front, on the bow of the ship, that's where we're going to see the power of God do things that we cannot do. I wonder where Jesus is in your life. Where's Jesus in your life? Let's all stand. There's some great life lessons here. While we're standing, if you're here today to be baptized, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and prepare for baptism. While these are moving, don't let it detract you or distract you from these questions. What are you afraid of? Storms? Well, they're going to come. I wish I could stand here and tell you that there's not going to be any more storms in life. No more hardships or sorrows. I truly do. I deal with hardship and sorrows all the time as a pastor. And I wish I could stand before you this morning and say, you know what? There's not going to be any more hardships or troubles and sorrows. But unfortunately, I can't in truthfulness stand here and tell you that this morning. There's going to be hardships, difficulties, trials. But I can also tell you this. While there's going to be hardships and burdens and trials and difficulties, that God loves you. And he's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. God's not going to leave you to your burdens alone. The question is, do you have him on board? Do you? And if he's on board, where is he positioned? Where's God in your life? Back part? Second place? Somewhere tucked away just for emergency or crisis situations? You know, I don't want to be guilty of that in my life. I can't say that I haven't been. I'm ashamed. But I don't want to live my life that way, and I don't think you do. I want God to have the preeminence in my life because that's the place he deserves. I want you to bow your head with me just for a moment. Life is a journey.